Welcome to episode 47. I'm Stuart McCullough. I'm the CEO of VHAA. And starting with this week's industrial roundup, and in particular with community health, which continues to make its way through a year of intensive bargaining. On the 5th of December, we met again with the MSAV, that's the union covering dietitians, psychologists, and pharmacists, to continue the bargaining process. With respect to our health service members, doctors' bargaining is continuing, but the number of items that remain outstanding is diminishing rapidly. There are now only a few items remaining. We are continuing to meet twice weekly, as well as meeting once per fortnight with our reference group. In addition, we met with the Victorian Medical Executive and statewide HMO managers group on Wednesday, the 6th of December, to discuss a select number of those outstanding issues. With respect to the nurses and midwives agreement, VHA is scheduled to attend a meeting of the Statewide Classification Committee on Thursday, the 7th of December. The payroll reference group is scheduled to have its second meeting on Thursday, the 7th of December. And in other matters, we also have a couple of subcommittees of the board which have commenced meeting. Those include the Member Engagement Committee, which is made up of a number of board members covering different divisions, but that will be calling for participation from non-board members as well. It will be a crucial device by which we get better engagement with our members and get feedback from them, and it will be doing some crucial work over the next couple of years. In addition, there's also the Workplace Relations, the IR Strategy Committee, which has reconvened and recommenced meeting also. That will be the committee that provides oversight with regards to VHA's industrial strategy and direction over the next few years. And this month, we're also announcing the winners of the inaugural VHA podcast quiz with winners from each of our HR/IR manager groups. Those winners will be announced during the month of December. And a big thanks to all those members who have submitted their entry. As always, all of our activities are being summarised through the VHA community app. And that's it for this week's Industrial Roundup. Welcome to the weekly update, where we go in-depth with a particular subject. And joining me for this week's discussion and making her podcast debut is Workplace Relations Consultant Yvonne Erpus. Welcome, Yvonne.
Thank you.
And welcome to your first time to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yvonne, the way that we do this is that we reveal a clue, and that clue will suggest, will be an indicator as to what the subject for today's discussion will be. So if you could reveal the clue that is hidden under that particular piece of cardboard.
I'd love to.
So you may just need to lift those items to display them to the camera.
Sure.
And for the benefit of those members who are listening to this podcast rather than watching, could you describe the items that you see?
A CD of Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet.
Fear of a Black Planet, excellent album.
And a record of Lady in Satin by Billie Holiday.
So based on those particular clues, what would you say the subject for our discussion today should be?
I have no idea.
Well, if I can get you to imagine the idea of these two musical forces, these two musical powerhouses joining together to create some kind of supergroup, notwithstanding the disparate nature of their various musical styles, jazz versus rap, if they were to join together, you would either get Enemy Billy or, alternatively,
Public Enemy? No, Public Billy?
Public Holiday.
Public Holiday, that's so bad. I didn't even get it. Sorry, it was good though.
That's all right. The others have done much worse. So we're talking about Public Holidays today. It's opportune at the moment in that we've got the Public Holiday Matrix to discuss. So could you talk a little bit about the VHA Public Holiday Bulletin?
Certainly. It was sent out on the 31st of October 2017. It was bulletin number 2229, and it outlined the Christmas and New Year public holidays that are coming up.
So before we get to what it outlines, just describe for members what the process is in coming up with a public holiday bulletin.
Sure, we draft it in-house and then we distribute it to the payroll reference group and to the relevant unions for any comments that they may have. And then once we conclude that process, we then send it out in a bulletin to members.
So that parole reference group, that's made up of members, they're volunteers?
Yes, they are.
So those are people who then provide feedback that we can incorporate.
That's right.
And that's an important part of our quality assurance process.
Certainly is.
And something that we've developed over time.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of sending that then to the unions for their comment, again, that's something that we've added into our process for the purposes of quality assurance?
Yes, we have.
And what was the nature of the feedback that we got from the unions with regards to this public holiday matrix?
Yeah, we got very positive feedback. Everybody found it to be clear, concise and to the point.
And so that was the process for how it's developed. What does the bulletin itself outline with regards to the upcoming public holidays?
It talks about all the upcoming public holidays. So we've got Christmas, Boxing Day, New Year's Day and Australia Day. And within that bulletin, there's also a matrix, which actually takes you through the relevant payments for each public holiday.
So when you say matrix, I most commonly associate that with a very long and confusing film involving Keanu Reeves. Is the public holiday matrix any more enjoyable?
Well, I think it is, because I spend a lot of quality time with it, but it's a Excel spreadsheet.
And people can be guaranteed that Keanu Reeves won't be seen?
Definitely.
Excellent. That's proof of quality enough. there's quite a bit of information within with regards to the matrix. Are there any tips that you would want to put forward to members as to how they can best utilise that piece of information?
Yes, definitely. I like to print it in A3 and colour so that it's easy to read, because there is quite a lot of information on there.
I tend to go a little bit further. I tend to use a large bed sheet just to get sort of the maximum amount of detail.
Lovely. I'd expect no less from you, Stuart.
And in terms of the information that the matrix is trying to capture?
Mm-hmm. It basically tries to capture two scenarios, rostered to work, and that's for full-timers, part-timers and casuals, and not rostered to work. So that's those two scenarios.
Okay, so breaking it really into, notwithstanding there are lots of columns, they're going to fall into those two categories, those people who are not rostered to work and those people who are rostered to work.
Absolutely.
So can you talk a bit more about the individual scenarios as they apply to employees?
Sure. Generally speaking, there are two payment calculations for working on a public holiday. That is, depending on the agreement, employees can either receive double time and a half or double time only.
So these are payments that are made for working on a public holiday, either double time or double time and a half.
Exactly. The agreements that provide for a payment for double time and a half are as follows. Health professionals, including health professionals in community health, health and allied employees, including community health and mental health, management employees, including community health and mental health, medical specialists and doctors in training, medical scientists, pharmacists, psychologists, dietitians, etc., including community health, maintenance employees, SACs, and biomedical engineers. The agreements that provide for a payment for double time are as follows: general nurses and midwives, mental health nurses and PSOs, and health professionals in mental health.
So just to stress that again, when we talk about health professionals and the double time payment, it is solely and exclusively limited to those who are under the mental health agreement.
Correct.
And the people who are under the mental health agreement are those who are working solely or predominantly within mental health.
That's right.
Are there any agreements that offer no extra entitlement for working on a public holiday?
Certainly. There are a few. They are the dentists, dental therapists, dental hygienists and oral health therapists, including those working in community health.
So why is that?
That is because the EBA doesn't pick up an entitlement if you work a public holiday, whereas the other agreements do.
Is that because those occupations traditionally hadn't worked on public
holidays?
That's
a great point. Yes, that's probably true. They don't work on, public holidays.
It's worth noting that each of those agreements that we've just referred to is currently in the process of being renegotiated.
That is true.
Okay. Well, it would be interesting to see whether that changes.
Mm.
So can employees choose how it is they receive their public holiday benefit?
Sure, they certainly can. So, for example, health professionals, they will receive their one day's ordinary pay and then they can elect whether they have 1.5 days time in lieu, 1.5 days annual leave or 1.5 days extra pay.
So I hear the word elect.
That's right.
So does that mean it's up to the employee as to which of those entitlements they receive?
That's right, it sure is.
And I'm mindful that we've been talking about permanent employees,
yep,
and the benefits that they receive for working on a public holiday.
Mm-hmm.
What about casual employees?
Sure. They receive 175% or they receive double time on their casual loading, and it is as follows. For 175%, it's health professionals, including health professionals in community health and mental health, health and allied employees, including community health and mental health, management employees, including community health and mental health, and medical scientists, pharmacists, psychologists, dietitians, etc., including community health. for double time and a half, which is 1.25 times 2 equals 250%. That is for general nurses and midwives and mental health nurses and PSOs.
So those are the major agreements. There are some other agreements such as social and community services. What should members do for those?
Yes, for more detail on those, please refer to the matrix.
I like the way that that sort of kind of sounds like if pain persists, do see a doctor.
That's right.
And
and pain will persist with public holidays.
That's true enough. In terms of the columns that are headed not rostered to work, could you explain those?
Sure. So in the not rostered to work section, firstly, we'll look at the first and third column within that section, and that refers to staff who are rostered to work, but because it's a public holiday, are not required. So they would get one day's ordinary pay, and that applies to all the agreements.
And where does that entitlement come from?
That comes from Section 116 of the National Employment Standards.
So Section 116 of the Fair Work Act, part of the National Employment Standards, that those people who would have worked are entitled to have the day off and receive their ordinary pay for that day. What about other full-time employees who are not rostered to work on a public holiday?
Sure. We have also other full-time employees who can work across the 7 days who are not Monday to Friday workers. So in that scenario, they would receive 1.5 days' pay, and this applies to health professionals working in community health, health and allied employees, including community health and mental health, medical scientists, pharmacists, psychologists, dietitians, including those in community health.
What about the other agreements? What's
your
approach for them?
Yep. So for other agreements, they would get one day's pay, and they are as follows. General nurses and midwives, mental health nurses and PSOs, health professionals in mental health, medical specialists and doctors in training, management employees, including community health and mental health, and biomedical engineers.
So for employees such as those under social and community services agreements, dentists, maintenance and the like, refer to the matrix for further detail?
Absolutely.
And lastly, what about all other part-time employees who are not rostered to work on a public holiday?
Sure. All other part-time employees who are not rostered to work on a public holiday will generally fall into two buckets. They will either receive the pro rata payment or will have to go back 6 months and see if they've worked 50% or more of that day. And if they have, then they will get the rostered off benefit.
So can you discuss the pro rata payments in greater detail?
Certainly. The pro rata payment applies to the following agreements: nurses and mental health nurses, medical scientists, pharmacists, psychologists, dietitians, etc., including community health, and biomedical engineers. The payment is calculated as follows. It is calculated by the number of hours worked per week divided by 38 and multiplied by 8, or the usual shift length. For example, 24 over 38 multiplied by 8 is 5.05 hours.
So that's one of the examples, I think, that's given in some of those agreements.
That's right.
Do all the part-time employees who are not rostered to work under those agreements receive a pro rata payment?
Yes, they do.
So even though they may never work the day?
Exactly. They may never, ever work the day. They may have a set roster, so maybe Monday, Tuesday, and we could be talking about Good Friday, and they'll still get the pro rata payment.
So that describes the rule for the pro rata payment under those specified agreements. But we also have the 50% rule for some part-time employees, for those who have to work 50% more of the day over the past 6 months to receive a benefit. So what is the benefit for those people, and what is that rule?
Okay. So the rule is, basically, we go back 6 months. If they have worked 50% or more of that day in which the public holiday fell, they will get a penalty payment. And the agreements that attract it are as follows. Health and allied, including community health and mental health, they get 1.5 days' pay if they have worked 50% or more of that day over the past 6 months. Employees who only receive 1 day's pay are as follows. Management employees, including community health and mental health, and health professionals working in community health.
Okay.
Now, I did also want to mention there is no clear entitlement for health professionals and for health professionals in mental health. However, long-standing practice is that we also follow that same scenario where we go back and we average over the last 6 months, and if they've worked 50% or more of that day, they would also get the benefit.
Okay. So effectively, we have a 50% rule. The rates vary.
Yep,
between agreements between 1.5 days and 1 day.
And that's all outlined in the matrix.
And the matrix also identifies the relevant clause numbers.
Indeed it does, yep.
So what are the common questions that you receive with regards to public holiday entitlements and how they interact with personal leave?
Sure. A common question I get is, if an employee calls in sick on a public holiday, what are they paid? They are not paid sick leave. They are paid public holiday not worked, and that stems from the National Employment Standards, Section 98.
Okay, so if you have a public holiday benefit,
yep,
that you would have received, you get that instead of personal leave.
That's exactly right. And if you are sick for a period of time, it doesn't diminish your right to a pro rata payment as well.
So the next logical question, I guess, goes to annual leave. What are the common questions you receive with regards to public holidays and annual leave?
Sure. A common question I get is, if an employee is on a period of annual leave and a public holiday falls, what are they paid? Again, they are paid the public holiday not worked, not annual leave for that day.
So what are the common questions that you receive with regards to long service leave mm-hmm. and public holidays?
I often get asked, are public holidays paid during periods of long service leave? And no, they're not. The agreements are inclusive of public holidays during periods of long service leave.
So that's different to annual leave and personal leave. It's a different rule for long service leave.
That's exactly right.
So one of the interesting things that we've got, of course, is that we've got an agreement that's currently out to ballot.
That's right.
And we are hoping that it will be approved prior to Christmas. Mm-hmm. What happens if the medical scientists agreement is approved before Christmas?
Sure. If it happens to be approved before Christmas, we will send out an updated matrix, including the updated clause numbers.
And that's because there are some changes to the public holiday entitlements under
that
agreement?
There will be some minor changes, that is correct.
All right, so people will need to be aware of the fact that mm-hmm. the entitlements for medical scientists could change on the basis of the agreement going through
exactly
prior
right.
to Christmas.
Yep.
And how far in advance do you aim to send out the public holiday bulletins generally?
We aim to send out them in 8 weeks in advance so that when rosters are drawn up six weeks in advance, they have plenty of time to get their heads around what days are declared as public holidays.
So has anything changed in the way in which the public holiday bulletins are sent out?
Yes. Going forward, we'll be sending out the public holiday bulletins in clusters. That means that public holidays will be grouped together so that people can see in advance what is coming up.
Okay, so that's fewer bulletins in effect.
That's right.
With more public holidays being addressed.
Correct.
When is the next public holiday bulletin being sent out after this Christmas one?
Mm. The next public holiday bulletin will be sent out on 12th of January, and that will cover Labor Day and the upcoming Easter public holidays.
Does that include Anzac Day as well?
Yes, it does.
And that perennial question of the next lot of public holidays that fall on a weekend, when's the next time that will occur?
That will occur on the 26th of January 2019, Australia Day, which falls on a Saturday, and the government has declared an additional day for the Monday.
So they've declared that very early?
Yes, they have.
But we'll be waiting for a little while before we send out our public holiday
bulletin. Yes, so we can all breathe easy. No weekend public holidays.
Well, thank you for taking us through the public holiday bulletins. I'm reminded of the words of Plato. Holiday, celebrate, just one day I would like. It would be so nice.
Isn't that Madonna?
It could be Madonna, but I think it was Plato.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Stuart. Thank you.